Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, we're late today.
Yeah, we're running late. We've had one heck of a weekend. We've been to a couple of ERs. Thought we were going to another ER this morning for the puppy. This week itself has been a little rough, so bear with us. We're going to get through this, but we're not as prepared as what we normally would be. So,
but we didn't want to skip today.
Yeah. We've made excuses in the past, in our previous, YouTube channel. And we're not going to fall into that trap, with this one, because God's word is far too important and we need to focus on Him and not ourselves. So that being said, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for allowing us to be here, to work on this, to get your word spread to whoever will listen. Thank you that we are able to make it to this. Bless this time. Just be here with us and give us the words that you want us to say that will get others to listen to what you want us to tell them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so today we are on Galatians chapter 4. If you haven't heard the first three, go back and either check out our podcast on, holy cow, we're on almost every podcast streaming platform. We're also on Facebook and YouTube. And wherever you're listening to us now is a good place to start, I would say. So, that being said, welcome. Welcome. If you haven't listened to us before, thank you for joining us. If you have, then thank you for joining us. So, Galatians chapter 4, what we do, we basically read through it. We stop at different points and we explain what it's talking about. We'll pull from other scriptures in the Bible. We use only KJV because that is God's true word that has been passed down since the beginning. So,
and we do want to preface by saying that we are human. We will misspeak at times. So I do want to try and say that every podcast, because we haven't said it in everyone, but there will be things that we probably will catch later that we're like, oh, we portrayed that maybe a little bit not accurate and not like we wanted. So if we do catch anything, we'll try to come back and say that, because we're not here for our interpretation. We're here for what God's word says, because we've been misled for so many years. That's our goal, is to not be misled or mislead anybody else. So we try to do our best to speak what the truth of God's word is. And we try not to put our own interpretation into it, but there will be times that we misspeak. So
yep. And if you hear something, anything,
let us know.
Yep. You can leave a comment, message us, or email us. Matthew.whitney.moody@gmail.com. All right, let's jump into it. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, through he be Lord of all. Lowercase L. Huh?
Though he be
Lord of all. My bad. See, there's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, but it is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father, lowercase f. This is talking about earthly father and son and Lord. So these first two verses are not talking about God or the Son of God. It's talking about earthly. So verse 3, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So this is talking about, basically, we're adopted children of God. There are only two other times in the Bible where the name Abba is used. One is Mark 14, 35 and 36. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So this is Jesus as he's praying in the garden, and he's asking God not to have him crucified, essentially, because he doesn't want to go through that pain. Why? Nobody would want to go through that kind of pain. So he's praying, asking God not to put him through that, but if that's what God wants, then he'll do it, because God is the Father. So that's Jesus calling God, Father, Abba. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So this is talking about God being the Father again, and talking to the Father as Abba. So those are the only two other times that we hear Abba in Scripture. Abba is not a general term for God. It's not. It's the term used to call on our Heavenly Father, God, as His children. So when we call on God, our Father, our adopted Father, according to Scripture, because we are His adopted children, then He is Abba. Anything to add?
So 4:5 says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So is that saying under the law, adoptive sons?
Five. I was looking at the wrong. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. So through Christ, we are an heir of God. We are the adopted sons and daughters. It's not talking about only during the law. It's talking about now.
Okay.
Sorry. You see, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you see me looking over my monitors trying to see Whitney. So, all right. So, verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So this is Paul still talking to the Galatians. So all of Galatians, the book, is Paul talking to the Galatians. And he is writing the letters to them because they have changed from the gospel that Paul gave them from Jesus Christ himself to they're putting themselves back under the law, which is nothing.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
once that time has passed.
Once Paul brought the gospel from Jesus, the law is nothing. There is no law at all. So that's something that he's trying to reestablish with them, because they've turned back to the law, which does nothing for them.
Wasn't this like, I may be incorrect, but wasn't this like 14 years later that he had already
This would
grounded
be
this with them.
I think it's
2:1.
I think it's 17 plus years from the time when he was given the gospel.
Okay.
So you're looking at 17, 18 years. I think.
So it's been
quite some
time.
It's around that time. Yeah. It's been more than a decade. So, all right. So, verse 10, like I said, we aren't as prepared as normal, but we're still going to get the word out there. So this is going to be quicker than usual. Verse 10, ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So Paul is reminding them that he was the first to bring them this new gospel, the mystery gospel. In Romans 16:25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, this is again Paul speaking, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So it's the revelation of the mystery that Jesus Christ gave to Paul.
And why did God keep this a mystery?
He kept it a mystery because if it was known, sorry, I'm hot now. If it was known, then Satan would have known about it and he would not have allowed the crucifixion of Jesus, because the crucifixion is what gives us the ability to become saved through grace, without works, just faith and believing. That's it.
This is why it's such a big deal to understand that there was a mystery, and this is why it's such a big deal to realize that if Satan would have known about this, then known about this dispensation, Gentiles would have there wouldn't be a crucifixion. He wouldn't have crucified Jesus or let it happen, because he's going to understand that everybody is going to be able to have the capability of being saved. And before, Satan thought he won because we're missing out. Only the Jewish population was affected by this. The Gentiles were not included in this program, so in Israel's program. So if he would have known about this, and he would have known that everybody would have been able to have a chance, like, what does Satan want most? What is he here for? He wants all the glory. He wants to be the powerful one. He wants to be Jesus. He wants to be God. And that is his main goal. And if he would have known about this mystery, then there would have been no crucifixion. So
yeah.
it's such a huge thing to get the whole picture and understand that it was a mystery. God hid it for a reason, and now he has a different dispensation that we are in, which is the dispensation of grace.
Yep, and like we said, if the devil would have known how easy it would be for us to become mm-hmm. saved, he would have never let that happen.
And to bring that up, like, nobody is able to tell who is saved except for one. God is the only one that knows who is saved and who is not.
Yep.
Satan doesn't even know. You can be, there's a billion preachers out there that are not saved. I guarantee you. There's a billion Christians out there that are not saved.
But they think they are.
They act like they are, and they think they are.
Yep.
And not even Satan. That's why whenever you learn this truth, and like, we've been targeted because of the truth that we're preaching, this is the absolute thing that Satan does not want to be spread. That's why it was so important for us to be here today, because this is the key to salvation, is understanding the mystery. And so, if you are coming to this truth and you do hear this, realize that your spiritual battle has now begun, because Satan will try to keep you from studying this, and he will try to keep you from spreading this word. So understand that it is a spiritual battle from this point on once you've learned about this truth. And you just have to stay with it. You have to keep your eyes forward and know that this world is fleeting and you have great things to come. The things that we do on this earth are going to be rewarded in heaven if you're doing the right things, if that makes sense.
Yep. All right. So verse 14, "And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." So in verse 14 and 15, Paul is reminding them that they accepted the gospel given to them. That was given to them from him, who was given it straight from Jesus Christ. So he's basically reminding them, hey, Jesus gave me this gospel. I gave it to you, and you all accepted it as though it came straight from Jesus Christ, because essentially it did. And now they're reverting back to the law, which makes no sense, because now they're making themselves work for something that they can't even achieve. Working for it gets you nothing.
Because we're not, that doesn't apply to us today. That does not exist. There is no law today. Period. Right. The end.
Yep. All right. So I'm going to read 16 through 31, and then we'll discuss it. But this is a really good section, and I know Whitney's going to have a lot to say about it once I get through it. So read with me verse 16 through 31. "And I am therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ, be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free."
That was a lot.
Yeah.
So going back to the very first verse you read, 4:16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Our job in this world, if you are living for Christ and you desire to please him, is to speak the truth and to be a vessel and an ambassador. And that means speaking out. And if you know what the truth is, then you are called to speak out the truth. And if you are not speaking out the truth, then what are you considered, biblically speaking, an enemy of the cross? You are not an enemy of the cross if you are teaching or preaching the mystery. You are an enemy of the cross if you are teaching law. And that's the majority of pastors out there. And it's so sad because everybody is just so misled by the masses.
Yep.
So it is such a heavy, heavy burden to bear because it is a hard life to be a true Christian the way that God wants you to be a Christian. And that means speaking the truth. And it's the most important thing in the world. And it's the hardest thing in the world because you will have people coming at you that are telling you that you're a heretic and, you know, all these terrible things about you. But just think, when that stuff happens to you, think about what Paul went through.
Oh, I couldn't
that
imagine.
Man had to have been, I mean, the most mentally strong person that's ever lived, because I can't imagine, I mean, how many people knew the law at the time that he was given the mystery to go preach. How terrifying would that be? But he did it because God told him to, and we should follow Christ through the teachings that he gave Paul. And that's what we're called to do. The Bible says it many times that we are to speak boldly and we are to spread the truth and we are to not be enemies of the cross. And an enemy of the cross is preaching law. So it's a hard, hard life. And it's a very in-depth thing to have to, when you learn this information, it's not just a quick conversation. It's not like a quick conversation was whenever I first became what I thought was a Christian. When I had these conversations with people before and I thought I was witnessing, you know, it's basically telling people that they're a sinner, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again for you. And he took all of your sins away, and all you had to do was
to repent
of your sins, confess, ask for forgiveness, which is total baloney.
Yeah.
That's not our time today.
No.
And how many people did I mislead by doing that? Oh my gosh. Like,
yep.
I thought
to,
I was being a good girl.
You have to say the sinner's prayer. And
yeah, it's all hooey. So
yep. It's all Satan working his way in.
It is.
Satan doesn't get to us by going against God. He gets to us by pretending that he's in line with God and then changing things.
Yep.
We weren't saved to be quiet.
No, he's working more in Christianity and churches than he is anywhere else. Like, you think Satan's this guy doing awful stuff, you know, by leading people to drugs and drinking and sex and pornography and all this stuff. Really, his masterful work is in the church.
Yep.
That is where he is.
And all these
and people
Bible
don't
translations.
See it. Yes.
And which I'm going to cover a little bit of something after we're done with this. So
you can go into the rest of it. I just said a lot. So.
Okay. So basically it's talking about how the bondwoman and the free woman, and how they're basically putting themselves in the bondwoman's position by putting themselves under the law. And that's not where we're at. So we need to think of ourselves as with the free woman, because we're not under a law. We're not under bondage. We're not under any of that. We just need to realize that this is the easiest thing in the world to do, is have faith, and we're saved.
We complicate it so much.
That's essentially what Paul is getting at, is we're not under a law. We're not under bondage. We're free. We just have to make the correct decision. And that's it. That's all there is to it.
And like I said, it doesn't mean that it's the easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is think one thought and you're saved, and then the rest is a walk through the park. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, that is how you get saved. One single thought of believing that Jesus took all of your sins, was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day. Period, the end. We add nothing to it. We take away nothing from that. But that's where you do start to have a bit of a struggle, because, as I said, you are called to speak boldly. Ephesians 6:19 and 20 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That is not an easy task to do, because people will attack you for it. Yep. But that scripture right there tells us what God is telling us to do through Paul, period, the end. We have to speak out, even though it's very difficult. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I'm just getting this other thing ready here. Okay. So basically that's Galatians 4. It's got a lot of great little nuggets in it. A lot of good information and things to make you think and say, oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All of Galatians has that. I can't wait to get through the rest of Galatians. But something I wanted to point out, because as we study for these things, we watch different videos and listen to different podcasts and all this stuff. And I wanted to point out, because we've made such a big fuss over the correct translation, the correct Bible, being the King James, and it's going to be pretty quick, but I just wanted to point a couple things out. So in the NIV, the NIV is probably the worst translation.
It's so awful.
Heck, I can't even say that, because goodness gracious, there are so many
modern version,
absurd versions. But the NIV in Isaiah 14:12 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations."
What did you say that was?
14? Isaiah 14:12. So, that is talking about Lucifer being cast out of heaven, and the NIV is calling him Morning Star.
Read that again.
"How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations."
So when you're doing this comparison, I would recommend to pull up KJV and NIV right next to each other so you can go back and forth and look.
Yep. But I'm focused on morning star right now. And where the NIV has morning star, and where the KJV has morning star, and where ESV has morning star, all that. So the NIV is the only one of these three versions that has morning star in that verse, in the verse that's talking about Lucifer, Satan, the devil, being cast from heaven. Now, in Revelation, the NIV also has morning star. And it's Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So the NIV says the morning star is both the devil and Jesus. How does that work?
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge problem. That's Satan wiggling his way into the the word to steal God's glory.
Trying to get his glory, yep. All right, so KJV, Revelations 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. That, I mean, nowhere in the KJV does it reference Morningstar being Lucifer. The ESV, Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So, I mean, if the NIV is saying that Lucifer is the same as Jesus, he has the same name as Jesus, it's glorifying Lucifer. That's the devil putting his handiwork in the version of the NIV.
He's mimicking Jesus, and what a slap in the face.
Right.
And that people are actually reading that.
And preachers are utilizing that.
Oh, so frustrating.
All right. So, the name Lucifer is used one time in those three versions. It's not in the NIV, and it's not in the ESV. The name Lucifer is only in the KJV, Isaiah 14:12. Would you look at that? What was it the NIV said in Isaiah 14:12? How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. It's calling Lucifer morning star. So in the KJV, Isaiah 14:12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. It doesn't say morning star. It says son of the morning. Not the same. And it calls him Lucifer. The NIV calls him morning star, just as Jesus calls himself morning star in Revelation. Now, I didn't go through and write down all these scriptures. But devil, the word devil, appears in the NIV 33 times, the ESV 34 times, and the KJV almost double at 61 times.
That's not insignificant.
You all need to pay attention to what you're reading.
Changed or removed. And why do you think that is?
Because the devil is writing all these versions through man.
Yep.
Let's pray.
Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to point out, because this just popped into my head when you were talking about Satan trying to take God's glory, and he's just mimicking God. That's what he's doing. He's trying to wiggle himself in to be worshipped, and we blindly worship him in church and we don't even know it.
Yeah.
And what a slap in the face.
Yeah.
But
these churches blindly slap God in the face.
They do.
Because they don't pay attention to what they're reading.
Yeah. So if you go to blueletterbible.org, or you can go to BibleGateway.com, I believe. BibleGateway.com. Do a word search and put in "get behind thee, Satan." And do that in KJV. There are three times that comes up in scripture in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. Okay, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar, similar books. Stories.
Yep.
Yes, perceived by different people. So that makes sense that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are going to have those three, and that's where it's in the Bible. If I switch over from KJV to NIV and hit search, zero. No hits. Doesn't even register.
Yep.
So if you read one of those verses, I'll just read one so you can see what it's talking about whenever it says that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That is a huge verse. What do you think that verse is doing to Satan? God's word overpowers anything that has to do with Satan. That is a direct order from God to Satan. That is huge. And that is not in NIV. It's not in other versions that have been created by man. And I say created because they are created, because they're not inspired word of God.
No,
they are created. I'm going to pull up NIV and read that. That was Luke 4:8. I just read a pretty lengthy verse, right? This is what Luke 4:8 says in NIV. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Period. That's what the NIV says. No, get thee behind me, Satan. Just, it is written, worship the Lord your God. Let's go back and read KJV again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That is a huge verse ordering Satan behind Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt thou serve. Like, if you think that's a minor discrepancy and it's okay to leave that out, we got some problems. You got to reevaluate, because if that's not in your Bible, you're not reading the right version.
That's true. Pay attention to what you're looking at.
Go ahead and pray. I'm sorry.
All right. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we got to study your word. We pray that it lands on hearts and we accomplish what you have set out for us to accomplish. We love you and we praise you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. See you next Sunday.